Morning. How is everybody? Good? Good. Right before we started doing, right before Lent season started, and before last Sunday, Apostle, he kind of said, hey, we're talking at home, and we're going to do the Beatitudes. And so we went through last Sunday. He did last Sunday, right? We started it off. We got home and we're sitting there in the afternoon last Sunday, and he looks at me and he says, I think I'm going to have you do, we had kind of talked about it, but then he had kind of pushed it more. He's like, you're going to do the morning. You're going to do next week. Those that mourn, that they can be comforted. And I basically told him, nope, I'm not doing that one. I'm like, if you haven't figured it out, I am not a person that hangs out in the morning side. I'm a person that likes to hang out in the hope side. I'm a person that likes to hang out in the what's coming side. I'm not a person that likes to hang out in the sad side, okay? And he's like, nope, you're doing it. I'm like, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. And after about the third time, I'm like, fine. I literally told him, just because you're my apostle, my pastor, that's it. That's the only reason I'm doing this, because I don't want to do this one. And then I went and started spending some time in my bedroom and in my prayer time, and the Lord dumped some stuff on me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is pretty good. Maybe I am doing it. So I hope that this isn't long, because he's doing junior church today. I promised him I would keep it to 30 minutes. It's a push for him to do junior church anyways, okay? But, so we're going to keep it, we're going to try and keep it short, for his sake at least, and the kids back there that are with him, okay? Okay. Lori got him 2 crafts, so we might be okay. But we're going to talk about blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we're going to just do some simple definitions to get started, okay? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's found in Matthew 5:4. That's where we're at, okay? So I looked at definitions first, and of course, the first definition of mourn means a loss. Now, it's not just death. I mean, a lot of times that we think of mourning, we think about grief and loss, and we've lost somebody, and somebody, has passed on. It includes that, but there's so many things in addition to that. I want you to think of, as we talk about lost mourning today, I want you to think of losses in your life. Here are a few, okay? This is just a small little portion. I want you to think loss in your life. Maybe a close friend, and that might mean that they passed on, or it might mean that they just got mad at you and don't want to talk to you, okay? It's a loss. You lose a spouse or serious illness of a loved one. You have a relationship breakup. I'm hitting all these common things that you would automatically think of first, but death of a family member. When you leave home, it's a loss, because it's a change of your structure of your home and your family life as you know it. So that's a loss. Illness is a loss. Our health, our freedom to do things, our ability to do things, those are losses. Death of a pet, change of jobs, it's a loss. Things that we're familiar with. Move to a new home. Again, loss can be found in when good things happen. It's not all woe is me and sad, okay? So, like, if you move to a new home, it's still a loss of what you knew and some security and comfort in how the world functions and flows and operates. So it can still be graduation. I've talked to many moms about me and my firstborn, because I'm telling you, it was horrific, and nobody ever warned me about it, and it took me months to figure out it was a loss of family structure as I knew it, and I was grieving, and I didn't even know it, okay? I mean, I knew something wasn't good going on inside me, but I wasn't able to say this is grief and loss right away. I didn't recognize it. Loss of physical ability, financial security, it's a biggie, you know. Loss of a dream, loss of hope, loss of a perception or a belief or an expectation. When somebody doesn't meet up to an expectation, it's a loss on our part. People come and go, leave the church. Loss of childhood. You know, for whatever reason, whether it's abuse, trauma, or because of where you were at, birth order, whatever was going on, sometimes we're forced to grow up way sooner than what we really should. And there's a loss of childhood. So these are different. This is not all-inclusive. So again, I want you to think as I go into this next part about loss. Are you? Cher? Do you remember what we talked about this week? Are you ready? Okay. I'm going to get to you then. Okay. So, and Sherry's going to help me out with something, but I want to get through this next little part first, okay? So, think about loss. Then I started looking at the word comfort because it's, you know, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I thought, well, I don't really need to look that up, except I really needed to look it up because it's when I think of comfort, I think of, you know, somebody coming over and, you know, it's okay, it's all right, and giving me some of the warm fuzzies and reassuring me and all of that. This word comfort literally means call to one side. Called near. So when Jesus is doing the Beatitudes, when he's talking in the Beatitudes, and he is talking to the crowd, and he's saying, when you are mourning, I'm going to comfort you. You're going to find comfort. What he's literally saying is, when you have had a loss in your life, I am going to call you near to me. I'm going to call you near to me. I'm going to call you to my side. I'm having the same reaction I did when I was sitting in my bedroom, okay? Because to me, you know, and each of us have our own, you know, personalities and, you know, how we go through life. And no surprise, I tend to be pretty independent, and I can do it myself, and let's just go, and, you know, yeah, really, who's saying, really, Kathy Ann, you're in the back row, be quiet, okay. So, when I'm reading this verse, and I'm inserting the words, I'm changing mourn out for loss, and I'm thinking about all that that entails, and then I insert called to one side, called near, and I'm thinking every place in my life, every place in your life, when you are experiencing some loss of some kind, Jesus is standing there trying to bring you close to him. He's calling you. He is actually being on the offensive side, you know, he's on the offense. He's taking action because it says call to one side, and he's the one talking us through this. He's the one telling us this in scripture. Blessed are they that have had loss, for they shall be called to my side. They shall be called near me. Wow. That's sinking in at all? Think about the different times in your life when you really, truly are experiencing loss. For whatever reason, God is actively, he is actively standing there calling for you, saying, come on. We see this in the story in Luke. There's a parable in there, and you guys are familiar with it, but there's a parable, and the parable is about the guy that is holding a banquet. And he's got this great plan to have all these people come. I mean, and so he sends out invitations and with the servants. And when the servants start coming back to him, the servants are like, well, they don't want to come. Everybody that we've invited, they don't want to come. One of them's getting married, okay? One of them has got oxen. And it says in there that, in the King James, it says that he has to go prove the oxen. And what he means is, basically, I have to go put them to work and see if they're really worth what I paid for them. So in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, that's a workaholic. Man, we just got to go work. We just got to go prove. We can't take no time off. We just got to go do our thing. Got to prove these oxen. There is one person that says, man, I just have some land that I acquired. I got to go look at it. We're talking about all of these people in this parable are people who have things, and they're functioning in a point in their life where they're not experiencing loss. I have land. I got a job to do. I got a relationship. I got a wife. Man, I've got it all together. I'm good. And it's all of these people that turn down the invitation. And they tell the servant who comes with the invitation, look, I got all this stuff going on in my life. I'm good. I really ain't got time for you right now. And then we get on with it. So the servant comes back to the master and he says, none of these people want to come. And the master says, oh my gosh, well, this place is going to be full one way or another. I'm not having a banquet. I'm not getting this all ready and not having anybody show up. I want you to go out and I want you to find, and then he starts naming. Like, I want you to find the lame. I want you to find the blind. I want you to find the cripples and the maimed. I want you to find all of those. And that's where I was reading this. I'm like, this is the law. These are people with loss. These are people who have loss, whether it's a physical loss, whether it's a relational loss, all of these things that we just listed a few minutes ago, the master is literally sending the servants out saying, go find the people who have a loss going on in their life and bring them to me. Call them to me because I've got a table spread for them. And my table is going to cover all of those hurts, all of those things that they are missing right now. Because I have a banquet. You ever go to a real good banquet? When you go to a real good banquet, it's got everything. Everything. It's not just one dessert. There's at least 20 desserts. I mean, you go to a real banquet. We used to, when we were dating, okay, there was this little place in Chesning, Michigan. And Apostle and his family loved to go to this place because it had a banquet table like you would not believe. Everything, I mean, you name it, it was on this thing. Spread down the whole length of the restaurant. I mean, and it had not just, you know, it wasn't the typical stuff. I mean, it even had liver on it, Ruth. It even had liver. I mean, it had everything, steaks and all the seafood. I mean, they wanted to go to this place all the time because it had such a choice. And when God is telling us in this parable, I want you to go find the lost because I have a banquet. I have a table for them. Every type of possible answer that you need to the loss that you're experiencing, he says, come in, be next to me, and I'm going to answer it. I'm going to provide for that need. It's an amazing thing. And so they go out, they bring more people in, You know, the story goes on that the table's still not full. Send them out again. Keep finding those people that have losses. Keep bringing them in because I'm going to have room for them all over. This ties into, like I said, we're not going to be long today, but this ties in to what we're saying this year for our word for the year. Praise you in true worship. One of the processes, one of the steps to that is stopping for the one in front of you. And when we are mourning and we are suffering loss, we have to know that God is preparing us to go out and minister to somebody who has had a similar loss. Remember, he does not allow us to go through hurt and suffering and loss and mourning just for the sake of putting us through it. He always is setting up an appointment, the next appointment for you. So I jump to 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. The God of all comfort. Now, in the Greek, this is the same word, okay? It's the same root meaning. So the God of all comfort, who comforts, who calls us to his side, comforts us in all tribulation that we may be able to call near to our side to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. It's almost like, you know, this is a God expectation for us. This is a requirement. So this week I was talking to somebody, a dear friend of mine, and they ended up pulling having to take into their home a baby, a very abused baby. Baby cries all the time. Baby cannot, like, and this is like a, I say baby, it's not infant, you know, but not crawling yet either. Should be. Okay. So this little one, because of the abuse that he experienced, he would get strapped down, and he'd have to just lay there all day and just cry. So when this baby comes into their home, emergency situation, and this baby comes into their home, can't lay the baby down because the baby just screams and screams and screams and screams. Even to change a diaper. Screams and screams and screams. Screams. And we were talking about this and, you know, and the struggle. And we were talking about their family structure because they have their own family. And now they have this little one that's been inserted into it and unexpected. And some of the issues, some of the loss that's going on within their own family. Because we have now an addition and our whole family structure has been turned upside down. And she was telling me about going through this, and last Sunday, same day that I'm having this conversation with my husband, telling him that I am not going to do this sermon on mourning, not going to do it. Somebody else could do mourning. Give me a happy one. She tells me that during the service at their church, her husband ends up going to the altar. She don't know what's going on because that's kind of unusual for her. I mean, you know, for them. I mean, it's just she knew something was going on. She didn't know what it was. And they had this conversation afterwards about the loss and the struggle and his battle to adjust to what's going on. And just like the Lord does, because he sets us up. He set her up. He set me up. Okay? It's what the Lord does. So, because in the middle of that, I have been in the middle of her dealing with all that going on at her place. I'm going through this whole mourning and, Lord, okay, what do you want me? If I have to do this, then what am I supposed to see and what am I supposed to know? And what? And the cool thing was is that I was able in the middle of the week to center some stuff and say, look at this verse. Look at 2 Corinthians. Isn't that what's going on right now? Because I know that you struggled to have children of your own. You went through a time of loss. The Lord answered that. He drew you near. You were able to have children. Isn't this what this is about? Isn't this 2 Corinthians 1 that says, aren't we supposed to call to our side when others are in tribulation? Aren't we supposed to call them to our side? Like you called us, like you comforted us, like you comforted us. He provided them with children and a stable home. And so his expectation, the Lord's expectation, is that if I have a little one and they need a home and stabilizing, and I call on you to do it, then I expect that you're going to call them, that little one, to your side, and you're going to minister to them, and you're going to provide to them, to that little one, what I provided to you. You see that? How many other ways does this happen in our life, and then we miss those opportunities, or we don't recognize it? We get so wrapped up in our own loss and in our own hurts that we can't see for the life of us what God is going to be bringing to us. And I'm not telling you that there isn't a time for you to be, you know, focused inwardly, because at the beginning of a loss and a grief, yeah, we kind of have to get adjusted. But at some point in time, you have to stop and you have to say, okay, Lord, now who is it? What is it? Where are they? Who am I supposed to take this same situation and find somebody in that same situation and draw them near to me? How am I supposed to do that? And where are they, Lord? Because if you really, truly are telling us as a church that we are supposed to stop for the one in front of us, then one of the ways that I'm supposed to be stopping is through my own personal losses, because Corinthians tells me I am supposed to find those people who have similar hurts to what I do so that I can minister to them, draw them close to me, spend time with them, let them know that I care about them and that they see you through me. It's so simple, it's just right there, but we don't ever put the pieces together. Yes, Martin? Yeah, how we heal. Absolutely. It is. You're right. It's a continuation of our healing for ourselves, but it's double purpose because God always multitasks. God is always multitasking. He is not ever doing one thing just for one thing. He's always got another plan coming down the road of where he wants to use it, how he wants to do it. He's going to do something with it. So, yes, it's about bringing comfort, and that is, it's joy. When you can share, truly, if you get to the point with your loss that you can verbalize and you can share, and it meets somebody's hurt right where they are, and they can connect with you so that you can have that time together, there it is joy, and it is mending. It's mending on both sides. Call them near to your side, them which are in any trouble, by the same comfort wherewith you, we ourselves, are comforted. I'm telling you, those two verses, they're not, I don't, I didn't have it linked like in a reference chain, but it should have been. It should be. Because we can't stop with just the mourning. We are comforted because 2 Corinthians takes us here. What's it doing? Is that it? That's my last one. Okay. I want to do something a little bit different today. Okay. As we kind of just chew on this and talk about this and dwell on this, I wanted to, I had asked Sherry this week if she would take just a couple minutes. She is now, she's passed a year from her own personal loss. And I wanted to see if she would just share just a couple minutes about that process and how she has been able to maybe comfort some people along the way because of her. I wanted to give you somebody in the congregation somewhere you could actually kind of see some of how this played out. Now, it's the loss of a husband, so it is a what we would consider a normal grief process. But I want you to, I just thought it would be good if we could just do a little, like, real life application. So, Cher, would you just come and share for a few minutes? Like, life over this last year.
Good morning. I guess in the beginning, you're in a fog, and you're not really sure. Ed was so much younger than me, so I never thought I'd ever have to bury him. So I never thought that would be a problem for me. But so life goes on. God has a different plan. In the beginning, you are in a fog. You get up and go through your days just like you always would, so to speak. But your mind isn't really there. I mean, you do everything routinely that you would normally always do. But I would hear God all the time. Once I died, I could not hear at all. Nothing. And I was so worried. It's like, you know, did I do something wrong? Is it something I did? You know, is he upset with me? I couldn't figure out why I couldn't hear. I was asking questions. I was tearing the inside of me apart, trying to figure things out. And I would ask him things and silence. And it was disturbing for me, for sure, because I couldn't figure out why he was not speaking to me. Well, after about, and it was about 6 months went by, and it was a quiet 6 months all the way around. The house was quiet, you know, inside of me was quiet. The Lord was quiet. It was just a quiet time. And at one point, I was asking different things, and I was really starting to think, well, maybe he just isn't going to talk to me anymore, and maybe he really is mad at me. And I don't know what I did, but I guess I'll figure it out. And I don't know, it was maybe a week after I finally was going to settle with that, the Lord spoke to me and said he was quiet because he was listening. He was holding me, and he was listening to what was going on inside of me, because I needed to be settled before I could move forward. So that was a big deal for me at that point. So then, since then, and you never know, you think you're doing really well, and then you'll hear a song, or you'll smell something, and just, here it is, it washes over. And you just never know. It's been a year, it still happens. I'll be walking, I'll hear something, and whoosh, it just whooshes over you. You just can't stop it. It's just the process. In this process, I have been doing things I had on a list of things I would never do in my life. You know how you make those lists? Oh, I'm never going to do that, you know, or that oh, I could never do that. Well, I'm doing things off of that list of things I would never do in my life. Like, in November, I got an email from the gentleman at that owns a funeral home where Ed's service was. And just out of the blue, you know, I'm looking, if you need something to do, is how he put it, come and talk to me. I need some support staff here. And I'm like, where did that come from? Okay. So I texted him back or emailed him back and said, well, I'll think about it and maybe I'll just come and talk to you, which I did. So January, I started working at the funeral home. One of the things I would never do in my entire life is work in a funeral home. But it is comforting. I didn't think I'd ever say that, you know, because that's a place that's scary for most people. And people that go there aren't in a good way, let's face it. So I never thought I'd be there. Here I am. And it's a comforting place for me. And it sounds really crazy, but God has a plan. He really does have a plan. And we may not see it, and you may have to go through a really dark, dark time before you get to the other side. I'm not saying the mourning process is over. Who knows? You know, a year from now, it could be something, and here we go again. I don't know. But as Julie says, God calls you near and he comforts you and then you comfort others in a way that you didn't think you ever could. But it's the process. And just don't give up on God because he doesn't ever give up on us. That's all.
Amen. Amen. She talked about at the beginning of a loss cycle, sometimes we have a hard time hearing God. I think that's true with all of us. I think that's true with any type of loss. We have a tendency to swirl, kind of, and then we have to find a way to break out of that. One of the good ways is, since we know this verse, let's look at this verse. Since we know that this verse tells us that once we've gone through our loss, that we're supposed to draw people to us, how about what happens if you're in the middle or beginning a loss? How about if we intentionally look to try to find somebody who's had the similar loss? You know, because a lot of times when we are suffering loss of any kind, we just cocoon. We close ourselves in. I mean, I know I do. I don't want to talk to anybody. I need to talk to somebody. I don't want to talk to anybody. I will go, just be, leave me alone. It doesn't help me get out of my mess. It doesn't help me break through. The what helps is either talking to somebody who's experienced it, reading stories, you know, getting in about people who have gone through stuff. You know, yes, you know, but I'm not going to be churchy. I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of times in the beginning, it's hard to worship. It's hard to pray and focus. It's hard because you're not hearing that voice. So what do we have left? We have this verse that we put into the opposite direction. Nobody says that you have to wait for them to come find you, those who have had similar. We can be proactive. We can find somebody and say, you know what? I'm really struggling with this. Do you know of anybody who's been through this that I can talk to? Or, Lord, you know, because I wouldn't even want to do that, honestly. I'd struggle to even do that. I'd have to be sitting there in my prayer time going, Lord, you're going to have to put somebody in front of me. I'm struggling to even get past me. We can put this verse in the opposite and then look for how God's going to use it. If you haven't been up to see Sue, I'm still encouraging you. Go see Sue. Likelihood she's going to be sleeping. Okay? Go see her. She'll tell me that she doesn't remember anybody who's been up there. Nobody's been up to see her. I know people have been up there to see her because they've been telling me they've been up to see her. She won't remember it, but it's okay because right then and there in that moment when she's holding your hand, you're given comfort. You're ministering to her loss. Loss of freedom, loss of independence, the uncertainty that she's experiencing. But even in that situation, you've heard us tell you about how, you know, she had a loss of childhood. Her and her sisters had a loss of childhood. There was abuse that went on, and the church, because they have extended to her and drew her near, because we understand hurts, because we've all had them, right? So because of that, she's had a restoration with her son. I mean, if you ever see, Sam used to come when he was 12, 13. If you see him now, he looks just like Sue. It's like a chip off the old block. I mean, it is. He looks just like Sue. But she's having this restoration time with him through her loss. And there's comfort that's coming because as a church, the Lord's helped us minister to her and bring her comfort. Now she's had life restored and she had all three sisters came up. They were all together. All three of them were together. And there was some healing and mending that for one, particularly one of the sisters who hadn't talked to them in years, over a decade, because her loss was her childhood because of the abuse and stuff. So you don't have to be in the midst of your loss. I guess is what I want to say is if we're really truly looking to stop for the one in front of us, you don't totally have to be through all of your loss. You don't have to have it all fixed to still do this verse, to still be one that draws others to you. All you have to do is be one who is recognizes first, okay, I'm struggling, Lord, but I get it. I mean, I know I'm probably not going to be hearing you real well for a little bit, but I know what I know. You know, we don't focus on emotions. We focus on what we know to be true. We know that God never leaves us. We know that he says that he's going to draw us to his side. And we know that he says that with how he's comforting us, we're supposed to comfort others. So even in the middle of my loss, even if I'm in the middle of it, even if it's not over yet, bring me those people that I can start bringing them comfort, start drawing them near to me. Because Martin is right. In itself, that is a balm and a salve, and it will bring joy. And I think it amplifies. Because if we go back to reaping and sowing, the laws of reaping and sowing, you reap what you sow. So if you're going to sow comfort into somebody, you're going to receive comfort. And what that means is if you're going to draw somebody near to you, then guess what? God's going to bring people near to you. And you're going to reap more than what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap more than what you sow. It's going to come back in multitude. This isn't real deep today. I'm just making a few connections for you. It's more like a teaching thing than it is probably a sermon, but stopping for the one in front of you. I want you this week, really, truly, I want you to think about the loss that is most current to you. The loss that is most current to you. Whether you are past it or whether you're in the middle of it. The loss that is most current to you. And I want you to start this afternoon just going, okay, Lord, you know, through Lent, we are focusing on the Beatitudes. This week, it's about this loss. Point out to me, make me aware, if it doesn't already jump out at you, what that loss is for me. Help me find somebody this week. Put them in front of me. You know, give me neon lights if you have to, so I don't miss it. But put stuff in front of me, Lord. Put somebody in front of me, Lord, that I know, that I know, that I know as soon as I start talking to them that this is my person. And this is a person that I can draw near to me and I can bring them the comfort that you've given me. I can draw them near to me, and in doing so, they're going to find you. Doesn't have to be something big. Don't get it in your head that it's, you know, like this. It doesn't have to be. A lot of times the little teeniest of seeds makes the biggest difference. Those that mourn, let them be comforted. If you just stand with me. Father, we just thank you this morning. I just thank you, Lord, just for simple words. Just for simple messages. Lord, I thank you that you put passages that are linked together, Lord, and I thank you that you are a God who tells us that we're kings and queens and we got to put the pieces together. We have to search it out, and this is one of those places, Lord, where we have to search out more than just Matthew 5:4. That's the beginning, but in your word, you've got stuff laid in that tells us where we're supposed to head with this. 2 Corinthians, about how we're supposed to then pour it into somebody else. Father, I ask that you would just show us who those people are this week. Help us to recognize, because sometimes we don't even recognize that we're in a lost situation. So Lord, first help us to recognize a loss. One that's in the near past, or something that we're in right now. Lord, help us to understand loss. Help us to understand that you've called us beyond that, that you will comfort us, that you will be right next to us. Lord, we don't want to be like the guy with the wife and the guy with the oxen that he had to prove. We want to be people who understand we need to come into the banquet because you got a table for us laid out. We're a people of need. And that we're not ashamed to say that because it's based on you. So, Father, I just ask that you would show us what our loss is and then show us who it is. Put somebody, bring them to our mind, bring them across our path. Lord, somewhere in this week where we know, absolutely know, this is our person. And then, Lord, just we know that you will show us. You tell us in Matthew that at that hour we'll know what to say, that the Holy Spirit will speak through us. Father, I just ask that you do that for us, please, this week, and that we will have boldness to step up and be able to reach out to these people and bring them near to us. Let's demonstrate that, Lord, as we stop for the one in front of us. Lord, we just thank you that you gave your son for us. We thank you that you had a plan to draw us near. In your loss, in your grief, you had a plan to draw us near. Let us not disappoint you, Lord, when it comes to mourning. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Just amen. Amen.